Good evening.
It's 7 p.m. on Monday night. That means it's game time for the Marriage Table with your host, Eric.
And Fred, it's a show that tackles the issues that rival the modern day marriage.
Together, we're going to take the field with a game plan that will give teen marriage the win. So let's get ready for the kickoff on the Marriage Table.
Yes, this is another wonderful, wonderful Monday here in on the Marriage Playbook with Coaches Eric and Fran. We are so excited about tonight. Listen, I need you to tune in. I need you to go to www.blogtalkradio/PJC Media. Listen, you can go in on your computer or you can go on your any mobile device. And I'm telling you, you need to tune in now. You need to plug in. You need to let somebody know. Call up your sisters, your aunts, uncles, cousins, brothers. Amen. Listen, callers, go to 646-668-8485. Go to 646-668-8485. I need you to press 1. That will allow you to be live on the show. We have phenomenal guests here in the studio on today. I'm telling you, you don't want to miss it. Come on, Coach Eric, how you feeling today?
I'm doing pretty good, pretty hype about the show today. I'm very excited. This is the Marriage Playbook Season 6 Game, 6 Family Matters. Our guests today are Elders Antone and Iron Major from True Holiness Temple Incorporated. They're with us today, and I'm so excited about what they're going to say. This young man preached a message on our Men's Day, and it blessed us so much. I looked at my wife and said, we got to get these guys on the show. And I told them to come in and relax, act like you're in the living room. You know, I said, listen, this is the first time we actually got a chance to sit down and talk with them. So this is a brand new fellowship. This ain't rehearsed. Okay, so whatever you hear is going to be live right now, live action. Okay, so this week's topic, Family Matters. Okay, we're dealing with family matters according to biblical principles. Okay, talking about the structure of how God set the family unit up. And we know we have to recognize that the enemy hates anything that God creates. Okay, he tried to pervert. Okay, he tried to disturb, make it disjointed. Okay, discombobulate what God has created that was beautiful. And the family matters, and it matters to God. Okay, so this is a dynamic family. This whole family is beautiful to even watch. And I've been watching him for some time, and I'm glad to hear, and I'm excited to hear what he's going to say today. We're going to take a break, and we're going to introduce you to our guests. So all our family listeners, please listen up, because this is going to be some pertinent information for you. It's going to help you in your family. It's going to give you functional direction about what God requires for the kingdom and the family unit. So we're going to take a break, and we're going to be right back.
Come out. Looks like referee is calling a commercial timeout. So we'll be right back with the Marriage Playbook.
This is Dr. Joanne Dixon, pastor of the Living Word Evangelistic Missionary Church at 2234 North Front Street here in Philadelphia. Join us Sundays at 10 a.m. for Sunday school and at 11 a.m. for morning worship. Prayer and Bible study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. You can follow us on Facebook or dial 267-314-5220. We are a loving church and a learning church, which make us a growing church. God bless you.
The Harrison Wedding Consultants have been servicing the Delaware Valley for over 20 years with the finest chefs, great venues, and pastries. The Harrison Wedding Consultants are prepared to service your every event. Contact us at 267-884-9472 or follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. The Harrison Wedding Consultants, quality you can trust.
Greetings, everyone. This is Erica Burnett, CEO and creative designer of A Single Suggestion, a business that specializes in handcrafted stationery. Visit our website at www.asinglesuggestion.com to see what we have to offer. Our email address is info@asinglesuggestion.com. Please follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Pay us a visit to compliment your success at the hand of creative design.
And we're back. Thank you for staying in the game with us. So let's continue on with today's topic.
All right, as we said, we are so excited about our guest today. I'm telling you, tremendous husband and wife, duo preaching and teaching, amen. We thank God for them and the life that they live before their peers and their peers of ours also. And we thank God for them. And so, look, we're going to introduce our guest, and we are here with our elder Antone Major and our guest Irene Major. How y'all doing today?
We're good.
Oh, we are so excited, and we just thank God for you. Thank God for you accepting this invitation because I know your schedules are really busy. You guys do a lot in ministry. You have a family, you have children. You have a lot that you're doing, but we thank you for taking this time out to join us.
Well, thank you for having us. We're so excited to be here and be able to hopefully help somebody out as it relates to family matters. We really value family. I believe that is the backbone of the church. And when you have strong families in the church, then you have a strong church. So family absolutely matters.
Amen. So again, we thank you for being with us. It's an honor to have you here in front of us. Thank you for taking time out to do this. It's really important. Okay. Also, tell me about yourselves. How long you been married? Where did you meet? Were you both saved? You're meeting church? Let's hear the story. Everybody got the story. All right. This is the marriage playbook. So the first thing we got to establish before we start talking about family and kids is marriage. That's how we do it in the kingdom. We don't do the kids first and then get no. We do the marriage thing first and then we do the kids. So we're going to do things decently and in order. Okay, so we can talk about how you met, you know, how long you've been married. And then you can start talking about kids.
Well, we met at church, of course. It was really, really good. Actually, we were friends first, and we established a foundation. We got to know each other. He's my best friend. And we hung out so much. We were together so much. Everybody thought we were dating, and we weren't. We were just really close friends. And then, you know, he was chasing me around, doing all that good stuff. He's still chasing me. We got married. We've been married 18 years. In December, it'll be 18 years. And
yes, praise the Lord for that. Yes.
Well, I'm excited. It's not work when you work the system. Not work when you work the word. And it's easy. It gets easier and easier each year because as he's cultivating, as he's growing in the Lord, I'm learning how to serve him. I'm learning to be his continual helpmeet and not just who the guy was 18 years ago. He's growing. I gotta grow. So I like our family. I'll keep him around.
Oh, amen. Oh, amen. I'm telling you, said something that was powerful. That was really powerful because I think in marriages, and we don't want to stay here long, we want to talk about family. But marriage is so important when you're raising your children. You hit something that was very key that a lot of people don't understand is that in a marriage, you're going to be changing. Everyone's going to have these changes. Individually, you're going to have things that's going to happen together. And you hit it so important. You cannot stay there when God has a call on the man of God's life. Right. And that God is moving him and directing him and doing things, then the woman of God has to. You have to submit. And then you got to learn to submit even the more. Because God is going to give him the vision and give him things to do that we're going to be like, okay, and we got to trust and just follow and obey. And if you don't grow up and mature on that same level as God is developing them, you know, that's where the problem comes in.
That's right.
You know, I'm sitting there and I'm looking at the two of them, and they remind me of us. You know, I mean, they sort of got the same type of personality. She's excited and very energetic, like my wife. And then he comes with the cool, you know, and with the wisdom. He drops the wisdom, she drops the excitement, you know what I mean? So it's like fire and ice, you know what I mean? So my wife and I have the same type of personality. You know, she's really energetic, and she's already up, and then I come real laid back with it, you know what I mean? So, you know, she's the preacher in the family. I'm the teacher in the family, you know. So that's how it works out, you know. So I stay in my lane where I'm at, and I'm cool with it. You know, I'm cool with it. I'm not going to be who I'm not, so I'm cool with it. And I'm glad to have you know. But one of the things I want to point out about this particular family is that it seems like we see them everywhere. You know, every time we turn around, we see them sitting in the car having coffee or having ice cream somewhere, walk in a restaurant, they sitting there eating. We went to the game the other day, look up Antoine Major there with the kids. I'm like, what's going on? I can't get rid of this guy. So we see them everywhere, you know. But the thing I love, man, is the way they work their family, how it looks, you know. And that's a snapshot of what the kingdom of heaven is supposed to look like. You know, it's unity there. You know, and it's just it's beautiful thing. And the children are so well mannered when you talk to them. You know, and that's a blessing, man. And that's something that has to be learned and taught. That's not something that just happens by accident. You have to teach that. You know, I can tell that they're well taught by the way they behave when you see them out. Okay, and the other thing is, These kids are so talented and so gifted in ministry. I look up, they're singing, they're praise dancing. Their son is small. You can't even see him over the drum set, but he's a very accomplished percussionist at his age already. You know, you look up, you think a grown man is over there, it's a kid back there. You know, so I think that's really impressive when I see them together all in church. Too many families in the body of Christ, you know, have the parents in church and the kids at home. Or the kids in church and the parents at home. There's too many people in the body of Christ like that. So when you see a family working it together like that, it's an impressive thing to watch. And it's very beautiful. So Antoine, we're going to deal with some segments, and I talked to you about it. We had a pre-interview up there Saturday night. And at the end, Elder Irene closed us out in prayer, and the prayer was so anointed. I was looking around for the band, like, you was getting ready to start shouting or something, man. I was like, man, where's the band at? We're getting ready to shout right now. You know what I mean? So we're going to deal with segments, and we talked about it. Okay, and I want you to go into this segment dealing with the culture of the kingdom of heaven in your own words. You know, I know God's going to give you, I'm going to let you go with that. So you said something earlier in reference to how we raise our kids.
And one of the things, Irene actually just said this to me last week. And when she said it, it was really profound to me, at least. And what she said was, the Bible says, raise up child in the way they can go, and they're old, they will not depart far from it. And she said, you know, and the Lord kind of spoke to her, concerning that scripture of saying more than just that, not just in the good ways, but if you raise them in bad ways, you know, they'll grow up in that manner as well, and it'll be harder to pull them in. And so we kind of made it our goal when it came to our children not to give them the option of the world. I know a lot of people feel like, well, you know, they're going to get older and they're going to experience it anyway. And I understand that. But at the same time, we don't have to necessarily give them the option of choosing the world if we can show them a better way. And so a lot of things that we do as it relates to our household is in trying to instruct them as far as what the Bible says. We understand what everybody else is doing, what your friends are doing, and what's going on around you. But I'm going to tell you, the right thing to do and not allow what's going on around you to be even an option. You know, I don't want that. And that's kind of from the time that they were born, especially for me, one of my biggest things was pushing potential, not looking at or not allowing them to be comfortable right where they are, like you said, with my son playing the drums, he's very gifted. He's talented. But even with all of that talent, I try to find ways to push him. And I'm not a musician myself, so I'm limited in doing that, but I still try to push him in different ways. And things that I hear about as far as learning music, with my daughter, for the longest, she's had a dream of doing one thing. But, you know, you kind of see some differences in the way that they are. And I'm talking to her all the time, like, are you sure this is what you want? And she finally is coming around to, maybe I want to dance. And so it's starting to take hold to her of what she wants to do. But these things don't come about when you just allow your children to become. You know, you kind of have to mold them and make them into the image that you want them to fall into, and then hope that when you mold them, it sticks. You know, it hardens enough so that they don't get out there in the world to become something different. Because I don't want the thing that when we first had our first child, the thing that I feared was to invest so much into her, and then the world get a hold of her and she becomes something different. I've seen that so often in church, because we just hope that our kids grow up. Just because we're bringing them to church, we just hope that they grow up, become productive in society. We hope they grow up, become successful. I didn't want to allow it to be happenstance that it happens. I wanted to be very deliberate and intentional in them becoming productive and becoming successful. I wanted it to be very intentional. I didn't want to just hope that things happen for them. Regardless of what path they go in, I believe that they'll become successful because we have worked very hard to invest that into them and make sure that, listen, you're going to be successful because we've put too much in you. And we didn't allow for all of the outside stuff in the world and the influences of what's going on around you to take root. When we saw those things try to take root, we quickly jumped in and say, hey, listen, this is what we believe. This is what we stand for as a family. This is what we believe. And then one of the things for me is learning how to make Bible teaching more practical for them, so it's almost not like I'm not talking about the Bible. Because it makes it easier for them to understand if I can incorporate that into SpongeBob or whatever cartoon they're watching or whatever it is that they're doing. If they say they mention a certain song, well, you know, as it relates to that song, blah, blah, I'm always, and they always say this, I'm always finding some way to give a life lesson in whatever is going on. And one of the things that they hate and love is the car trips, because those 15 minutes in the car mean you're about to turn the radio down. I'm going to say, y'all know I was just thinking about something, and I'm going to go in, whether it's about college, whether it's about life, whether regardless what it's about, I'm going to have a conversation with them, and they are going to sit in the car and probably be thinking, I cannot wait for this car ride to be over. But I'm not going to, like I said, I don't want to leave it on the school system to teach them what I want them to know. And even with that, adding to that, not just on the spiritual side, but on the educational side, I push them in that way as well. Read books that are outside of your reach, that they say you can't read because it's for this grade. No, read them books. Go out and do that. Learn something different. Whatever it may be, there's resources everywhere for you to be able to do these type of things. Because what I don't want, again, is for the impression of the world to come on them. I want them to be able to go out there to make the decisions themselves.
It's interesting. I was thinking about something related to this. Our vacation Bible study theme this year is building the kingdom kids.
You know, and I have to teach the adult class. And I was kind of studying and meditating on what to say. As far as building the kingdom kids, that theme. And one of the things that came to me, I was just sitting in bed thinking about it, because I'm a whole builder myself, I have a contract, so I understand what it is to build something.
And the thing I thought about is that you can't build what you want without the material you want.
Right.
It's important for you to have the materials you want to build the thing that you desire to build, that you plan to build. So the materials you're using is important. And I don't understand why some parents think it's okay not be their job to instruct their kids in the right way and allow them to be exposed to things that's going to take them, that's untoward God, take them away from God. Okay? So you couldn't see Elder Major face, but he was, I mean, it was like he was building something the way he was talking about it, because he's serious about what he's saying. He's a serious man when it comes to his children. He's thinking about their future, you know, and this is love. This is actually loving your children, you know. And believe it or not, you know, later on in the years, your children are going to look back at all the things that you poured into them, and they're going to come back and say, you know, Dad, those talks. Because you can't unlearn what you learn, what you get. It's our job to feed that into them. Okay, in Deuteronomy, when Moses was talking to the children of Israel, he was saying, hey, listen, you know, God was instructing him. God was instructing him. He was saying, listen, these things, these laws, these new commandments I teach you, he said, teach this to your kids. When you're sitting in their house, when you wake up in the morning. And the way he explained it, he was saying, in everything you do, you should always be admonishing God and teaching your children everything about God. It's a 24/7 thing. It's not a sometime or just a Sunday morning thing. Every time, I like what you said to Elder Major about you use these things as teaching moments. Every time you turn around. Well, I'm talking to my wife about God. She rolls her eyes because I see God in everything. And I wake up at 4 in the morning and say, you know what, man, God just showed me, listen to this. You know? And I just go into it. That's why I really enjoyed when you came on Wednesday. I was listening to you, and I kept looking at my wife because I don't hear anybody else talking to other than me. And I said, listen to this dude talking about God. You know, and talking about what a man is. I talk about that stuff all the time because I had to find myself in God. You know, because I thought I was a man until I learned about God. And then I said, man, I got a lot of work to do. So I said, thank God for what you had to say, man. It blessed me just now. I was kind of in a trance listening to the words you were saying. I was hinging on every word, you know, because this is important information for parents. Okay, I believe even in the body of Christ. And definitely in the world, that they're too relaxed with what they expose their children to.
Yeah.
You know, they think it's cute, and they allow their children to emulate things, and they don't understand what they emulate. You know, because if it's not of God, you know, by default, it's of the enemy. Okay, and most of the stuff, we're going to talk about counterculture and evil influence. We're going to get to that, but we're still dealing with this first segment. I'm kind of chomping at the bit. You know, because I know you got some information for me. I still want to hear some more about the kingdom culture. Okay. But we got a nervous guest here, but we try to make her comfortable. You know, and I don't know why she's nervous, because you ought to hear her sing and preach, because she's not nervous when she's singing and preaching and doing all that. She, you know, so Elder Irene, I need you to speak to, you know, I need to hear your side of it, because the woman's perspective is a little different. You know, yeah, because it's coming from a different vantage point.
I agree with my husband when it comes to the structure of the family, because I come from a family that is very structured, and we don't play with where you're supposed to be, what you're supposed to do. Structure of the family will always count. When you have no structure, you've structured it to fail. Either way, you have a structure. If you don't make it, even before we got married, we talked about the things of both of our backgrounds, because a marriage is just two separate lives coming together. So we had to know, okay, who is the disciplinarian? Who is the one that's better with the finances? And that goes because my job as a wife and pertaining to the family, I am to show my daughters what a wife is supposed to look like. I'm to show my daughters how a wife is supposed to treat her and serve her husband. I'm to show my daughters what to look for. And for my son, my job is to show my son how a wife's supposed to treat him. My job is to show my son how a wife is supposed to dress and conduct herself. And then with all of that, we together are to show them the perks of marriage. I mean, there are perks when you're married. You don't get this courting. You don't get this with a boyfriend or a friend. You get these perks because we are to emulate love in front of them. If they think marriage is boring, then why are you married? So we show them the perks and the structure and the discipline and everything that comes along within a marriage.
I'm telling you, that's powerful. And one of the things that we don't consider is that there is no separation. The Bible says that the two flesh shall become one. And marriages and parents need to know that if you don't come together and raise your children, you're going to have a problem. You know, they'll be able to always play the mom against dad and dad against mom. And if mom and dad put up with their foolishness, then that's what they always look for the household to have. And it's not that's when confusion comes in, and that's when it's always drama. And then before you know it, see, the thing that we don't understand is, again, what we give them is the thing that they're going out into the world with. And guess what? You have some people out there don't put up with their foolishness. That's why our children are dying. That's why people are pulling out guns and shooting folks, you know, because we don't have the respect that we should have for one another anymore. We lost it. And if we don't teach our children how to be quiet, how to respect the officer when he says, stand here, you know, don't go nowhere, don't move. I'm talking to you, yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. You know, because that's it. And if we don't teach that, you know, we're screaming about our children, but what are we teaching them when they're at home?
That's true.
I tell my son, I never want him to be another mother's problem. To my daughters, I don't want them to be another father's problem. We do not promote the things of the world. We're not naive, like they're not present. They're there, and we're not naive that we're not with them 24/7. But we put in them what the word tells us to put in them, and we avail ourselves. I mean, literally avail ourselves to know that if you need to talk, you don't have to trust your friends, that we're able to have that boundary where you can trust us. You can trust us that we're going to be relatable, we're going to be realistic, we're going to be real, and we're going to give you the word.
And I just wanted to add to something that Irina said when she was talking about the different roles and different things of that nature with the blending of the backgrounds. One thing that I've learned and that we have learned in being married as long as we have is that sometimes the roles change.
Yeah.
And sometimes you can be the disciplinarian, but then there's times where you just can't be that. You have to be the nurturer one, and while the other one takes the other role. And that's why I don't look at those roles as being male, female necessarily, but what's needed at the time, you know, because there's times where I have to comfort where my wife is a disciplinarian. Or sometimes we both need to be the disciplinarian, or we both need the comfort, and we just need to know how to maneuver at that particular moment, depending on what the circumstance is. Who is it that can better suit what's needed at that time? And so that we're not, it's never an issue of any one of us being dominating or anything like that, but we both just know, like when it comes to certain issues that go on in any one of their lives, my wife would just know, you know what, let me handle this because I'm a put a little spin on it. And then there's times when it's just like, no, babe, let me talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's times where she's the one that's roaring. It's not where I'm doing it, but we just know, we have to know when that time steps up, who it is that needs to take that position.
Yeah, we got to take a little break. I'm enjoying. I'm feeding on everything that's being said. I'm really enjoying it. And what I'm hearing from it is that you guys work like a tandem. Okay, like in bookings. I always refer to when we're talking about our kids. It's about, we got to box our kids in, you know, so they don't have to escape the way to get out. You know, and I'm not talking about negatively keeping it in bondage. I'm talking about keeping them in safety.
Right.
You know, and that's what it's about. And we do that with wisdom, we do that with knowledge. And we're going to take a little break. Okay, but if you're not listening, we want you to tune in. If you want to call or call, the show, please call in at 646-668-8485, 646-668-8485. Press 1 if you want to comment or question. This is Real Christian Radio. We'll be right back.
Come out. Looks like referee is calling a commercial timeout. So we'll be right back with the Marriage Playbook.
It shouldn't be as hard to find a graphic designer with great customer skills, over 20 years of experience at an affordable price. Accent On Design by Luz offers you personable service with great attention to detail. Find me on Facebook at Accent On Design by Luz. Email aodbyluz@gmail.com or call 267-753-5936. If you can imagine it, I can help you create it.
Magnify His name with Elder Charnell P. Blaine and Divine Purpose. For all ministry engagements, contact us at area code 267-240-0709 or email us at dpministry01@aol.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And we're never too tired to give God an unconditional praise. Magnify His name.
57 South is a user experience design and development shop located in Philadelphia. We have over 12 years of experience in the visual communication field with a long list of satisfied customers. We provide innovative solutions for existing and emerging platforms. Got a plan? Let our team of talented professionals help bring it to life. You can reach us at 215-701-3934. You can visit our website, www.57south.com. We look forward to kickstarting your next project. Thank you. Have a great day.
Greetings, everyone. This is Erica Burnett, CEO and creative designer of A Single Suggestion, a business that specializes in handcrafted stationery. Visit our website at www.asinglesuggestion.com to see what we have to offer. Our email address is info@asinglesuggestion.com. Please follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Pay us a visit to compliment your success at the hand of creative design.
And we're back. Thank you for staying in the game with us. So let's continue on with today's topic.
I'm telling you, this is just so wonderful. I mean, just the information that's being spewed out right now. Oh, we are excited. We have the lovely Irene, Elder Irene Major, and the blessed Elder Anton Major. And you know what? For a long time, my husband, I would just say her name, and I would say Major. You know who Major is? And he'd be like, who are you talking about? And he said, babe, isn't her name Irene? I will call you Major so much. He was like, that's not her first name. You got to stop calling her that. Major Irene, that's what I would say. Oh, you know, Elder Major Irene. I don't know why I get people names all backwards. But again, we just thank God for you guys and what you're talking about. And so now we want to talk about the counterculture. I'm telling you, this is where, you know, everyone is saying good is bad and bad is good, you know, and it's all twisted. And it always reminds me of that scripture when it tells us to save ourselves from this untoward generation, the things that are backwards, the things that are not towards God, you know, and we don't understand. Okay, yes, we're living in the last days. Yes, we know Jesus is coming, but he's not here yet, which means we still have a work to do. We still have imparting to do. And it may not only just be our children, because I find myself ministering to a lot of children that don't even belong to me. I find myself ministering to a lot of children that calls me mom now, that I just met them, you know. And so children are starving for that information. They are starving for correction and the love. But I want us to talk about that because it's so prevalent now. And it's just, to me, like out of control. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. Coach Eric?
Yeah, counterculture. Okay, like you said, right is good, right is wrong, wrong is right. You know, I did the research. The gay and lesbian community only makes up about 5% of our population, but it's 50% of what we see on television. Okay, so they're trying to desensitize us and make us think that wrong things is right. You have drag queens in kindergartens reading books to our children and asking them, do they know what a drag queen is, and things of that nature. These are the kind of thing. They got books in school about my two dads, my two moms, but they won't let preachers come into school and talk about God. You know, so there is a counterculture that's dealing in this world system, and they're trying to grab our children. they're targeting our children. You know, all the entertainers today, they're not just entertaining and singing. It's what they're presenting themselves physically. They're half naked most of the time. There's a lot of symbolism out there that's not good. Okay, and as Christians, as believers, we see it. Because first of all, we came from out of that. So we can recognize it. We can identify it. And we know that, wait a minute, that's you're kind of showing things. Every time we turn on the TV, and me and my wife always have this thing, we say we got to watch what we're watching. There's a lot of things we stopped watching because they were trying to desensitize us, influence us to think that some things were normal when that definitely were abnormal, definitely was out of pocket. Okay, so do any of you want to speak to the counterculture that we're dealing with today and how do we approach it as Christians? How do we deal with it, particularly when it comes to protecting our children from it?
I feel like we must be careful in what we present, that we must watch what we watch. And just as Anton said, it is our job to raise our children. It is our job to teach our children. I don't leave it up to anybody else to teach my children. I don't leave it up to the teachers because they learn everywhere. But it's our job to implement in them right and wrong. With this new social media culture, with this new, it was Nickelodeon. We had to like, okay, cool out on Nickelodeon and Disney for a little bit because the stuff that was going on, like, I just had to sit down and watch what they were watching. And when you... When I tell my children what to do, it's different than what I teach them what to do. Because when I teach them the right thing, I don't even have to be around for them to know, hey, this is wrong. But if I just tell them, they're not doing it because mommy said so. But if I teach them, they won't do it because they know it's wrong.
That's his character, and it's coming in so subtle, and it's with cartoons, commercials, Prada commercials, you know, McDonald's, I mean, you name it, and you say, wait a minute, what is going on here? You know, and it's like we opened up a can of worms, and once we opened up that Pandora box, now there's any and everything go. But let me tell you something, when you are a child of God, the Bible tells us to touch not, taste not, and handle not. There's some things that Christians, we are not supposed to do. I don't care how good it looks, you know. And sometimes we get all in the hype, and we get all in, you know, what the next person is doing, or what this star is, or what this magazine say, and we forget to negate God's word and what God tells us to do and what He tells us not to do. You know, I just did a 2-part series, Ladies and Whores, and it pretty much is explaining how we as children be so innocent, and we go from that, from being hurt in the world, to all of a sudden. Now we have gone horrid after other guys, after other things in the world. And then we pick up these things because we're hurt, because we've been abused, because we've been through all these different things. And then we blame God for everything. So now we don't want God, but we want what the world has. You know, so the symbolism, the goddesses, and now we want to be sexy. Everybody want to be sexy. Only time you want to be sexy should be for your husband, you know, because sexy has a whole different background of what that means, you know. So it's so much that our children are exposed to. And we as parents, like you said, we have a job to do. We cannot be lunching. And I even said this. I know you're tired as a single mom. I was tired, working jobs, trying to go to school. And so when I came in, I just threw the kids the video game. You know? So we'll just throw them the video games and throw them stuff because I'm just tired right now. I might cope, but now you sleep, so you don't know what they're doing. You don't even know if they're in the house. Children are running outside in the street getting hit by cars. So now we want to beat the driver half to death. But where's the person who was supposed to watch the child that ran in the street? And these are the things that we're dealing with in our community. And we really need to change it. We really do.
I absolutely agree. And one of the things that that I noticed, especially as it relates to the cultures, that is very appealing, and that the allure of what they have, it draws them in. And the unfortunate part of it is, on the other side of that, is that most times some parents can make God seem, if not boring, we put a bad taste in our kids' mouth with God because of how dogmatic we are with what we believe. And I'm not saying we ought to bend in what we believe, because we don't bend in what we believe, but we find other ways to make God more appealing to our kids so that even though they see this stuff, we're not with them all the time, they still hear the music when they're around their friends and all that different type of stuff, but we still present God as more appealing than what the world is offering by not being dogmatic, but at the same time teaching and training them. And it's like trying to find that balance, sometimes you have to be careful with, because you don't want to seem like you're compromising, but at the same time, you don't want to be pushing too much, that you end up pushing them away from God. And so in order to confront that, we present God in a way that makes them want to have God in their lives. One of the things we used to do family devotion, and we don't do it as much anymore. As they've gotten older, it's just too late at night, homework and everything like that. We have now, well, not three high schoolers, but we have two high schoolers, one in middle school, almost in high school. Mm-hmm. And just the timing is just too hard to get it in every day. So we do have these different conversations and different things like that. But one of the things we used to do, we had a kid's Bible. It was the whole Bible, but it was more pictures than anything. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of used that to illustrate a lot of things going on now, but it was in a way that they could relate to it. And so by doing that, it wasn't the these, the thous, and the thuses, and so they could now relate to what was being said in the Bible. And even when we do Sunday school, even now, we try to bring down the topic to a degree, because right now the class is together so that they can relate to what's going on and appreciate what's being said, instead of it seeming like we're talking over their head. You know, I think that's one of the failures of some parents, is that we try to force God on our kids instead of making it so that our kids want God. The Bible says we, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. We got to understand how that operates as far as us as parents. That doesn't just mean us forcing them to God, but they're first example of God seen in us.
Amen.
So we can draw them into us. It makes it easier to draw them into God.
That's right. And that's wonderful because I think a lot of children are being confused because people are saying who God is, and they see him in church, but then at home you're doing something different. And that can confuse a child. If it can confuse an adult, you know it can confuse a child.
Amen.
And then you'll have children hating God because they want to know, where God did you talk about in church, and how come my mom's still on drugs? You know, or how come my mom got this boyfriend living with me? Or how come my mom is letting boys man me up for me? Or how come, you see what I'm saying? And so hit that, and again, that is, we have to begin to teach them the love of God.
You know,
it's his love that's going to be the thing that's going to break down the heart of any man, even our children, you know, and our children don't really understand what love is. We begin to show them Christ and the love of God, and why God loves you even at an age of where you are right now. Like, God is concerned about your work. God is concerned about your business. God is concerned that you want to be a beautiful young woman, and you still can be that, but that's what God requires of us. As a young woman,
and what she should look like,
and how
come
this,
that,
and
the other, you know, and it's the love. We do all this teaching, we do all this preaching, but we don't have no love.
And they're not displaying love from us. They're showing how it's displayed in church amongst the brothers. So when kids see that, they're not stupid. They were not born yesterday. Okay, they see all that, you know, and one of the things me and Eric had encountered years ago is that it's a bad thing when your child see other adults talking about your parents. You know, so our children don't age get hurt in church because the love of God should be there. The love of God should be in that place, regardless of what's going on, how you feel, and some people don't even care that your child is not. But you got to understand that soul, regardless of what they belong to me or not, this is a child of God, and we all play a part.
I know we have to do our job at home as individual parents, but we drop the ball when it comes to watching out for each other. And I just want to tell you, it's a community. It's a community. It's not your children, my children. Listen, a mother, and I'm learning, I'm seeing it more in men as well, but a mother, when she has that mother's intuition, okay, what the child you are? If you got to walk into the street, and I'm going to grab you because I don't want any harm to come to you. And that's how it should be in the body of Christ.
That's right.
If I see a mother's child going towards harm or going a path that I know leads to nothing but destruction, I'm going to grab you. And I'm going to say, not because I want to show my authority over you, but because I love you.
That's right.
Amen.
Because I love you.
Amen. I'm telling you, this is wonderful stuff here.
Yeah, I'm listening to you talk, Brother Irene, and I'm one of the things that jump out to me is that sometimes, but I know especially with children, it's important that we learn to have fun with our children.
Yes.
You know, because that's one of the things I think is missing in some Christian homes. They think that being godly is not having fun.
Right.
You know? And when I see your family, and I've been watching, and my eye has been on you. It's like my eyeball is on your clothes. I've been on you. I've been watching you. You know, in a good way. You know, watching the example. Oh, that's nice. Because I see that your children prefer you.
Yeah.
You know, they're not alienated from you.
Mm-hmm.
When y'all together, they want to be around you. When you sit down, they sit around you. I see that unity right there. That's because they love you, and they want to be with their family. You know, and that's the mark that you do. I want to commend you because you're doing a good job with that. You know, I see you doing a good job with that. One of the things, this control thing. You know, sometimes the enemy puts in children that our parents are trying to control us and stop us from doing what we want to do.
What we're trying to do, God doesn't control us that way.
Why? Because God wants us to freely love Him. And without free will, we can't reciprocate love to Him without free will. So what God is telling us is to control ourselves.
Control ourselves so we don't hurt ourselves.
You know, and this is what I challenge when I mentor young men. I challenge them to control themselves. Well, it's easy to go out here and get a girl, but, you know, can you control yourself and say, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to hold back. You know, I'm going to be honorable. I'm going to act noble here in the situation. I'm not going after it. Even though the opportunity is there, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to show nobility. They're going to call me a punk. They're going to say all this, but I'm still going to show nobility. Can you control yourself? That's the challenge. And that's a lot of work in itself. You want to challenge somebody, tell them to control themselves. You know, because your flesh wants to run, and you got to pull the reins back on yourself. So control is a job, is a challenge for any young man or young woman to control themselves. And this, when we love our children, we tell them, we're trying to teach you to control yourself because we don't want you to get hurt. If you go out there, you're going to get hurt. Control yourself. Control yourself. So when I listen to you talk, I see the Word of God is kind of visual to me, and I see it like a movie. And I think the Word of God is the most exciting thing in the world. I mean, this story is in the book here. They should make movies about that, and they should make it the right way and do it correctly and stay to the Word of God. They try to change it. They should keep to it because it's a good enough story the way it is. They got to cut this. I had no isotone to it. Leave it straight the way it is. It's good. You know what I mean? The way it is good. But what I saw was parents having to stand God at the gates of their children's mind. You got to stand God. You got to do it. You know, because stuff's trying to get in. So you got to stand at the gate and say, no, we can't have that. Patient, that's not good for you. You can't have that. You know, and then explain why. You know, and so here's the thing. A lot of times you say, just do what I say. That's the worst thing in the world for a parent. Just don't think about it. Just do what I say. Wait a minute. Take the time out. This is what nurturing is all about. And explain to them why. It only takes a few seconds to say, the reason why I don't want you to do this, or the reason why you can't go spend the night at those girls' houses, because this, that, and the other. We experienced that with our grandchildren. We picked it up in the spirit, just sitting on the porch, that no, they can't. No, that's something wrong there. We don't know where they're going. No parents involved. No, you can't go spend the night over there. No.
I wasn't brought up with the explanation. I was brought up on the no. And if I got enough, you sent me to say, it was said because I said so. And my husband opened my mind up to, no, sometimes you just got to explain. And that goes back to teaching them and not just telling them. So I've learned to, you know what, don't tell, let's teach. And if you have questions on why, then answer them. And that helps when they go to do something, they know I'm not doing it. Because they say don't, but I'm doing it because I know what I'm supposed to do and what I'm not supposed to do.
Man, I'm telling you, we need 2 hours to do this show. Oh, 1 hour is not. This is a three-part series. Family Matters. Okay, this is part one. I mean, you know, we got a few more minutes. I hope we get through the information that we already have. You know, because time is really flying. You know, so listen, we're gonna take another break and we're gonna come back and have to close it out. You know, because we really run out of time, but not out of information. Not a, you can't run out of God. That's one thing about that. You know, so we thank God for Elder Irene and Elder Anton Major for being with us today. You know, we're going to talk a little bit more, but we don't have time. So we're going to take a little bit of break and we'll be right back. Man.
Come out. Looks like referee is calling a commercial timeout. So we'll be right back with the Marriage Playbook.
This is Dr. Joanne Dixon, pastor of the Living Word Evangelistic Missionary Church at 2234 North Front Street here in Philadelphia. Join us Sundays at 10 a.m. for Sunday school and at 11 a.m. for morning worship. Prayer and Bible study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. You can follow us on Facebook or dial 267-314-5220. We are a loving church and a learning church, which make us a growing church. God bless you.
The Harrison Wedding Consultants have been servicing the Delaware Valley for over 20 years with the finest chefs, great venues, and pastries. The Harrison Wedding Consultants are prepared to service your every event. Contact us at 267-884-9472 or follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. The Harrison Wedding Consultants, quality you can trust.
Are you a reader looking for more compelling Christian fiction? Maybe something a little more edgy or a bit more real? Are you tired of most Christian fiction shying away from the truth and settling for a rose-tinted view of the world and its issues? Or are you an author who has a compelling story to tell but you're afraid it doesn't jive with today's brand of Christian or secular fiction? Are you tired of Christian publishers telling you that your content is too edgy? Or maybe you've tried submitting your content under the radar to secular publishers only to be told your themes are a bit too religious. We invite you to take a look at the Crossover Alliance. We are an online publishing company that specializes in edgy Christian speculative fiction. Speculative fiction with Christian themes and real-world content. Our company is formed from authors and readers just like you who are breaking into the mainstream and Christian markets with this compelling genre. Head over to the www.thecrossoveralliance.com for all the details on who we are, what we do, and what we accept. Right now, if you sign up for our email newsletter, you'll receive a free digital copy of our first short story anthology. Check us out today and help us spread the word about the Crossover Alliance, where light shines brighter in the darkness.
And we're back. Thank you for staying in the game with us. So let's continue on with today's topic.
All right, so this has been so wonderful. We're so so excited, and we just had a lovely time with you guys. So listen, really quick, I just want you,
guys to tell us your
home church. Praise the Lord. Any ministries, anything that's going on, please plug in right now.
We attend one of the best churches in Philadelphia with the greatest bishop. That's what every time I talk to her, I say, Dr. Gloria J. Lewis, the presiding prelate of Trulliness Temple Incorporated. We attend Trulliness Temple, 5312 Westminster Avenue. We welcome you to come anytime. The Word of God is preached. The Word of God is lived out. It is an example ever before us. Service times, our Sunday school starts at 10 a.m. Our morning worship starts at 11:45. And we know that the Lord will meet you. It is the place where miracles happen, and it is the healing center in every way. We love God. We have multiple ministries that are going on at the church. We have our women's ministry that is coming up, the Now Ministry, on September 22nd. Our elder Diane Harvell will be having phenomenal people come in. You're more than welcome to join us. We are on Facebook, Jewel in the Temple. You can look us right on up. All of our Jewel in the Temple family, we do what we do. We have other ministries. Created for Greatness is one that I have personally, and that we help families in need. We are on Facebook as well.
Amen. Amen. Anything you would like to say, Elder Anton, before we close out?
I'm just glad to be here. Glad to be able to share. That's pretty much it.
Oh,
I think I've done.
Thank you guys so much. So listen, I know they're laughing up here. We're having a good time up here in the studio. But look, we're going to have our elder Irene Major. We're going to close us out with a quick prayer. Amen. For our families, our children, and the structure of our household.
Father God, we bless you, we honor you, we give you praise. You alone are God, and beside you there is none other. We thank you for this time. We thank you for the information that was given that will go across the airways. We thank you for structure in our churches, structure in our families. We thank you for covering our children as they go back and forth to school, covering them on every school bus, every highway and byway, streets and avenues. We thank you, oh God, for covering their mind, everything regarding how they process things, covering them on social media from cyberbullying and even bullying in the school. They will not be bullied, and they will not be the bulliers, keeping them from every attack of the enemy, every attack that he will present unto them. I thank you, Lord God, that you are making us and creating in us examples that we can be not to our not just our biological children, but to children wherever, that they can look up to us and see you, see the love of you, and feel your love. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for wisdom regarding our families, for every husband and wife, for every child, even if they are adopted, even if they are brought in. I thank you for love abroad in every sense of the word. Continue to be with us, be with our families, and be with us even as we travel away from this place. We thank you for all things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Come out. Looks like referee is calling a commercial timeout, so we'll be right back with the Marriage Playbook.
If you are in need of life insurance, auto or home insurance, or need help in getting out of debt, call your helpful insurance agents at Prime Financial Services. Did you know, if you add a child rider to your life insurance policy, you can add multiple children for the price of one, starting at $10,000 worth of coverage for under $10. Call today for a free quote at 313-293-0979. Mention you heard this ad on this show for a free gift.
And we're back. Thank you for staying in the game with us. So let's continue on with today's topic.
All right, so you have heard it here today, the Marriage Playbook, Season 6, Game 6, Family Matters. Don't forget, this is a three-part series that we're doing, so come on next Monday. We got another phenomenal couple that's coming on. It is going to be dynamite. Listen, we have some other wonderful, wonderful shows. Our PJC Media family, listen, you need to tune in on Sundays to Dovetails with Deborah at 2 p.m. Tuesday, Right Stuff with Parker J. Cole, that's at 7 p.m. Fridays, Let's Talk About It with Jenny White, and that's at 8 p.m. Saturday, Parker J. Cole Show, that's at 2 p.m. And don't forget yours truly, Monday evenings, The Marriage Playbook with Coaches Eric and Fran, and that's at 7 p.m. Listen, if you are in the city of Philadelphia, I need you to stop by the Living Word Evangelistic Missionary Church, 2234 North Front Street, where our Bishop, Dr. Joanne Dixon, is the founder and the pastor. Don't forget, you can go back and listen to this show, www.blogtalkradio.com/PJC Media. Don't forget to call 646-668-8485. Like us on Facebook. Go to Instagram. We are on there, The Marriage Playbook. Coach Eric, we out. And thank you again to the Majors. And we'll see you guys on next Monday.
Well, folks, that's all the time we have left in this game.
Yeah, but the season is not over. We got more games to play.
Well, we thank you for spending your Monday evening here with us at the Marriage Playbook.
We hope we've encouraged you with some strategies that will give your marriage the win.
All right, so let's have a good week of practice, and we'll see you at game time next week on the Marriage Playbook.